Okay, Hanukkah. It's a little bit left of Hanukkah we can talk about, I guess. A couple of horrors on the entire Yom Tov of Hanukkah. That we find that the Gemara tells us that after the story of Hanukkah, it says, L'shana acheres kevav asan Yom Tov. That the story of Hanukkah, after it happened, the miracles, whatever the miracles were, the following year they decided to make a Yom Tov of Hanukkah. So the obvious question is, why did they wait a year to make the Yom Tov? Make the Yom Tov immediately, that year, then make the Yom Tov. They had a massive miracle, they should have made the Yom Tov immediately. So we mentioned last week, a pshat from the Klausenberger Rebbe, from others who wanted to suggest, I think this was, we saw from others, that people were suffering. When people are suffering, it's not a time for a Yom Tov. People were lost family members in the war. People were hurt and injured. It's not a time to commemorate a Yom Tov. You have to wait a year until people start to heal. I was thinking possibly another pshat, that the idea over here is that Chazal wanted to see how the Jewish people are going to react to the new gift called learning Torah. If you remember, we're going a while now. They weren't able to learn Torah. They weren't able to do mitzvahs. A part of them could have easily said to themselves, hey, this is not such a bad lifestyle. We don't have to get up so early anymore. We don't have to worry about all these other issues that we used to have. It's not our fault. We're not in this. What can we do? It's not, no one's to blame us. But there was a little bit of an adjustment period for the Jewish people to get used to getting back into the flow of Torah mitzvahs. So Chazal at that generation wanted to see what's going to be their outlook of the Jewish people. Is it going to be, you know what, things weren't so bad under the Greeks, you know? We were exempt, we couldn't do mitzvahs, so we had a more flexible schedule. We didn't have all the same nishchainis that we have today. Or their attitude is, no, Baruch Hashem, we're so happy to get back into doing mitzvahs, where we felt like we were lost, and now, Baruch Hashem, we're back to what we wanted to be. So that was a trial period. They wanted to see how the Jewish people are going to react to this newfound freedom. How are they going to behave or treat this new freedom that they were given through the Yom Tov of Hanukkah? And it took a year. After a year of seeing how the Jewish people reacted, appreciating having Torah mitzvahs, then the Chazal said, oh, now it's Taka Yom Tov, now it's a reason to commemorate. Because if the Jewish people would not have found this new respect or honor for Torah mitzvahs, they wouldn't have made it a Yom Tov. Because what did we win? We gained the rights to do the mitzvahs, and no one wants to do the mitzvahs, no reason for a Yom Tov. So that's why Chazal had to wait another year. Achreinim have a kasha that the whole miracle of the Shemen was not necessary, because we have a rule, Tomo Hotro B'tzibur. They could have used the Talmai oil, and there was no need for a miracle. Many Achreinim asked this kasha. So I heard once from the name of my Rosh Yeshiva, Zalag Epstein, he suggested, you're right, Klal Yisrael didn't need a miracle. The purpose of the miracle was to give Klal Yisrael a haskama. Many times in history, when things happen, and we do things that are somewhat brazen, we want to know, was the attack sanctioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In the times of the Hanukkah story, there were no Nevi'im. No one gave us the haskama that what we did was right. Was it right what we did? To go battle against this powerful Greek army, Jew against Jew violence, we were fighting the Misyavnim. Was all of this that we did correct? Were we acting right, or were we acting incorrect? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the miracle of the Pach Shemen to show, no, you did right. The way Hashem showed us that what we did was correct by giving us a matana of the Pach Shal Shemen. Through the gift of the Pach Shal Shemen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us, no, what you did was correct. It was a haskama from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, you find the same thing by Pinchas. Right after the story of Pinchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a bris, special treaty with Pinchas. Why? So he said, because Pinchas got a lot of flack. People were saying, who are you, Pinchas? You don't belong doing this. You didn't do what you did was not correct. So Hashem said, no. I'm going to make a personal treaty with you afterwards. That was the greatest endorsement that Pinchas could have got. So here also, in the story of Hanukkah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us his Pashal Shem, and that was his endorsement, that whatever we did during the story was correct, we behaved properly, and Hashem showered us with a present from him, the gift of the Pashal Shem. In the entire Yom Tov of Hanukkah, there seems to be a massive contradiction to what exactly are we commemorating or celebrating. If you look in the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara talks about my Hanukkah, and the Gemara goes on to discuss the whole story of Hanukkah. In that story of the Gemara, the Gemara talks all about the miracle of the oil. If you read that Gemara, you wouldn't even know that there was a war. The Gemara says, Nitzachon, they said that we conquered them. Very little mention of the war. If you read the Gemara in Shabbos, all you hear is about the oil. Yet if you open the Siddur and you read Al-Anisim, all you see is the Melchama. So what exactly are we commemorating? Is it the oil or is it the battle? So the Maral points out and he says, there's talk of two miracles here. So when the Gemara asks in Shabbos, my Hanukkah, the Gemara wasn't just asking a historical question, what was the storyline? The Gemara was asking which nace was the real nace that we made the Yom Tov for. So Alom the Shekasha, according to this. So says the Maral, the story of the Shemen wins. Why, says the Maral? Because the story of the Shemen is taka miracle. He said, because many people can say that the Melchama was Teva. If you go through history books, you'll find many times in war where the underdog has won. It happens. I don't know exactly how frequent, how often, but sometimes it does happen that the miyatim will win. Those that are lower in numbers and not as talented will sometimes win. It happens. Ask anyone who bets. Sometimes you lose, right? You never know. So therefore, it's very easy to say that the Melchama, you'll say, man, that wasn't really Yad Hashem. It happens sometimes. But the Shemen, you can't make a miracle out of oil. That's it. There was only one way to do it. So if the Shemen went beyond its normal level of burning, that taka be Yad Hashem. And therefore, we commemorate the Shemen, because that clearly shows Yad Hashem. So writes the Mara.
So why is Al-Nisim
on the war? So why do we even mention the Al-Nisim, the Fizet? So in order to answer that, I think we have to really go through exactly what Chazal wanted us to take out of the Al-Nisim. If Desler points out, he says he doesn't even understand the whole battle. He says, how could Klal Yisrael go to war at this time? We're talking about people that were not trained, had no weapons, they don't know what they were doing. Zayden Biyad Oiski Sarasecha, who they sent to the front lines? The Oiski Sarasecha, those who learned Torah all day. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't have a chance to win. Why would you send these people? Why would we even go to war? So Abdeslo said that the Muhammad that the Hashmonaim did at that time was completely emunadika battle. They had complete emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem will provide for them. You can add, the reason why they had this emun is because they weren't fighting for themselves. They were fighting for Hashem's glory. This wasn't even for their own life. They weren't fighting for their own rights, for their, ability to live. They were fighting to be able to do Hashem's will. That's a Muhammad for Hashem. They know, I'm fighting God's war. I'm not doing anything more than to fight for the will of God. When you're going in with the attitude, I'm fighting Bishvil Hashem, I'm fighting for Hashem, for His glory, for Kvod Shemayim, then they said, you know what, it doesn't make any sense, but I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. So it was the level of emunah that they had because of the bond that they felt with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what today we have, our young children that go to battle today in Eretz Yisrael. How do they go to the battlefront, and how do they deal with all the craziness that they have to deal with the same idea. They're going to battle the Shema, they're going to war the Shem Shemayim, they're going to prove and to be marbik kvod shemayim in the world. That's what they're trying to do. If that's your attitude, that your idea is about be marbik kvod shemayim, so then it's much easier to go to battle, even though the war doesn't make any sense. So throughout our day, Al-Nisim is said throughout the day. While we daven, when we eat, it's throughout our daily experiences. We have to remember that storyline. We have to remember this idea of we're battling for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That emunah that the Hashmonaim had, that they lived with, we want to remember throughout our day. And we have to remember, whatever we do, we're battling to try to be marbi kvayit shemai. But I think it goes a little deeper than that. If you look in the Al-Nisim, there's a very strong line there of l'hashkicham teiresech l'haviru mechukei ritzenecha. I believe that even though the Yevanim are no longer with us, I believe the influence of the Yevanim is still very strong in our society today. We live in a world today, what were the Yevanim? The Yevanim wanted to corrupt Jewish values. They wanted to have us believe their ideology in their corrupt way of living life. They had their own way of living life. They thought life was all about the physical world, physical pleasure, physical ability. But they wanted to corrupt our way of thinking. We live today in a world that the Yevanim maybe are no longer with us, but this ideology of trying to corrupt our way of living is all around us. Everywhere you turn, the society around us is trying to corrupt and to convince us that our way of Torah is wrong and our morals are wrong and their way of looking at things are right. Marry whoever you want to marry. Go to whatever bathroom you want to go to. Everything is okay today. That's l'hashkicham teiresecha. That's the Yevanim. The Yevanim of today is masked in another form. They're not telling us you can't learn Torah. They're just trying to convince us that our Torah is archaic and our rules are wrong, and they're trying to convince us that our moral system is incorrect. Meaning they're trying to convince us that if you live in North Korea, you can do whatever you want to your people, but if you dare build an apartment building in East Jerusalem where young people can live, then you're a Russia. That's what they're trying to convince the world. And people believe this. They really believe that what Israel does is wrong, and they're doing it. It's nerve-wracking to see what goes on the college campuses. I spent a lot of time researching this, to see the amount of anti-Semitism that's on the college campuses today. And these are the future voters. These are the future people of this country. And they have this strong hatred. But it's okay, because if you're just an anti-Semite, that's bad. But if you call it a movement, then it becomes mutter. So it's a movement, right? It's a movement, a chalois new thing. If you call it a movement, then all of a sudden it becomes mutter. But these people have this ideology that is so warped, and you can't convince them that they're wrong, and they're trying to infiltrate our way of living. So we're living today, every day, with the Yevanim. L'hashkicham teiresecha, they're trying to corrupt our way of learning, our way of thinking, but our way is not, doesn't depend with the time. Our way is given to us by the Torah. We don't change our views on things based on who we're trying to get elected by. Our ideas are given to us by the Torah thousands of years ago. And the Yevonim every single day are continuously trying to corrupt our way of looking at life. And that's why in the Alanisim, we have to remember this. Every single day, they're trying to corrupt us. When we're on our way, when we throughout our day, when we stop to eat, and we stop to daven, throughout the day, we have to remind ourselves that the world around us is trying to convince us that we're wrong and they're right. That their warped way of thinking about what's right and wrong in the world is they're trying to convince us that we're the crazy ones. That we don't have it right. We're the bad ones, and they're the good ones. And they're really trying to convince us that their way of life is better. This archaic way of Torah and mitzvahs, and this comes from the Jews as well, not just from Goyim. We have this on the left in our own world. Non-religious Jews are doing this with us as well. So that's why the Alanisim is said, that's why we say in the Alanisim, Mashkichim Teresech, we have to remember what we went to battle for. What was it about? It was about, we're not going to allow this corrupt ideology to work its way into our lives. We're going to have to somehow keep it out there. But they try desperately to convince us, and you listen to people debating, and they're trying to explain to you why it's okay to do this and okay to do that, and none of it makes any sense whatsoever. There's no logic to it. There's no rhyme or reason for it. It's really sinner. It's really based in hatred. So even though maybe the Yevanim are no longer with us, their ideologies and their hashkafas are still very much with us. So when we say the Alanisim, we have to remind ourselves that we have to not allow this to work into our way of thinking. And many people say, okay, after January 20th, everything will be okay. The Gemara tells us in Megillah that the reason why Esther was not Megala who she was because they didn't want the Jewish people saying, hey, what do we have to worry about? We have Esther. Esther Hamalka is the queen. Well, you have to worry about a Haman decree. We're good to go. We're safe. We don't need a David. We don't need a worry. We're safe. So the Gemara tells us that's why Bedavka, they didn't want to be Megala who Esther was, because they didn't want the Jewish people feeling too complacent with saying that we don't need to work on it because we have someone who's going to take care of us. So, you know, we all feel very confident that, you know, with the new presidency, things are going to be better. But again, we have to remember, as much as we hope so, and Api Dechatev, it should be, but we have to remember who we have to rely on. We have only Kosh Baruch Hu to rely on. In the shul where I davened Shabbos morning this week, we had a little bit of a fight. Someone decided we're no longer going to make the Mishaberech for the American government because of the UN's decision. And the Mamash got very, very, very political and very heated. And I had to explain to this individual in a very respectful way that the Mishaberech that we make for the American government has nothing to do with Obama per se, has nothing to do with him or his wife or his kids, has nothing to do with his well-being per se. The reason why we make the Mishaberech for the government has to do with the security of a country. If we live in a society where there's no stable country, then we're all in danger. So whether or not you agree or disagree with his political ideas, and of course, obviously, we disagree with his idea, unless you're from a very small part of Klal Yisrael that was having a big Kiddush the Shabbos, they were quite happy that it took Kaitis. But okay, they need a lot of help. But in any case, Kosh Baruch Hu should send them a refuah shleima. But in any case, the rest of us that bless the government, it's not because we care for the president per se. And if he gets a flu, I don't think we'd really care that much. The point is that we want to make sure that the government has stability. That's what we need. If we can't have a tyranny here. We can't have a dictatorship. We can't have like goes on in other countries where it's a free-for-all. Whoever stronger wins, he who has more weapons wins, he who stronger wins. We need to have a stable government, and that's what we make a Mishaberech for. So I had to explain to this fellow in a calm way, because he wasn't so calm, that the idea of the Mishaberech has nothing to do with agreeing or not agreeing with their politics. It has to do with the fact that we have to be Makir Toiv. I told him the Gemara tells us that in Avodah Zarah. I said that the Gura was very makbut to make the bracha for his Medina, and I can imagine in Vilna, the Medina in the 1700s was definitely not as nice to him as the American government is to us today. So we have to remember that yes, we don't agree with them politically for sure, and I think it's our obligation and duty to protest and to fight and to send in letters and complain about it, but at the end of the day, we need the government for our security. Because if there be no government, we'd all be in Sakana. So we have to remember that no matter who the new president is going to be, and yes, Alpi Derech HaTev, he sounds like he will help the Jewish people. But we're going to read through the next couple of parashas. You're going to read about Yosef's rise to power in Mitzrayim. And you're going to say to yourself, how can you read the end of Sefer Bereishis and then turn and open Sefer Shmais? All of a sudden, the Jews are slaves. What happened? Yosef was top gun, top. All of a sudden, if you turn a couple of parashas, all of a sudden, it's all forgotten. So we know Nebuch in history, it's like this. Look in Germany. Jews were mamash on the top of the world in Germany. Who would have dreamt in a million years a Holocaust would have happened? So we never know. It's a very scary thing that we live in. But we have to do our part. We daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save us. Today is the yard site of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has a beautiful piece in Sichas Musa. We've quoted it here a couple of times. It's worth noting again. And we find that Aaron HaKohen was very distraught after the Chanukah Samizbeach, after the Nesiim brought the Karbonos, because he wasn't involved. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeases Aaron and tells him, don't worry, yours is going to be greater, because you're going to merit to light the menorah. So all the Rishonim discuss, Rashi and the Ramban over there in Parshas Baloischa discuss, what was the big deal about lighting the menorah? Why was it such an appeasement to Aaron? Aaron got to do a lot of jobs in the base of Megdash. Why was the menorah such an appeasement to Aaron? So Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz has a piece where he suggests that the idea of the lighting of the menorah in the base of Megdash represented Klal Yisrael's declaration of Hakaras HaTayv HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Aaron lit the menorah in the base of Megdash, that was the way of thanking Hashem for guiding the Jewish people in the Midbar for all those years. When Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, and they didn't know where they were going. This is way before they had ways. They didn't know where they were going, where to go, how to go. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a matana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them where to go. Hashem protected them. And this protection is something Klal Yisrael was very grateful for. And out of that, Klal Yisrael needed to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. And therefore, Aaron HaKohen had the job of lighting the menorah. The light of the menorah was supposed to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that gift. So if you think about it, it's pretty amazing. Aaron HaKohen had many jobs in the Beis HaMikdash. Very important jobs. Yet this job was so dear to him, where he had the right, the schus, to be makir toif to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that alone appeased him. So Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz points out in this piece, it's a long piece, but in this piece he points out the importance of being makir toif. He says, you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed his thank you? You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed it? You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it to get the thank you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it because we're his children, he loves us. Yet, says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, you see from over here the significance and the importance of being makir toif. He says, we find by Moshe Rabbeinu when he couldn't do the first three makos because he owed HaKadosh Toif to the rock and to the ocean. Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, you think the ocean would have been insulted? You think the ground would have cried if Moshe Rabbeinu would have used it? Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, the idea of HaKadosh HaTayv is that you have to realize if someone does a toiv for you, you have to feel the obligation, or what we find by Aaron HaKohen, the schus, to be able to make a toiv to others. I think this time of Chanukah is definitely worth expressing my HaKadosh HaTayv to everyone here who comes every single week to this year. Today is the day where almost all yeshivas are closed, almost all kailulim are closed. It's no Torah Sunday by and far. You know, the ski resorts are packed, but the Batei Midrashim are empty. But Baruch Hashem, we're here today and we're learning. And it's very special to learn A on Chanukah, B on a day when no one else is learning. It's always special. But I can only do that because people show up and want to learn. We can only continue the shiur because we have people that are devoted week in, week in to come to the shiur, to partake in the shiur, to ask me questions that make me have to prepare even harder, which I appreciate. So Baruch Hashem, we're here today because of all of those that participate, both live, online, those that come and make this year possible. I also like to thank public for all those that were mishtatif in my Chanukah present for myself and my family. It was very much appreciated. It's good for my wife to see all the hard work that I put in and to get some HaKadosh HaTayv. I just read a story from Rabbi Pesach Kron. He tells a story that Moshe Meir Weiss and his house on Erev Yom Kippur gets a phone call from Rabbi Sher. So his wife, he gets on the phone, Rabbi Sher, and he says, I want to speak to Rebbetzin Weiss. So he says, you probably want to speak to my husband. So he says, no, I want to speak to you. He says, why? He says, are you the one whose husband goes every night to give a daf yomi in Staten Island where he lives? He said, yeah. And then he goes to the bar park and gives a daf yomi at 10:15 every night? She said, yeah. So he said, you're the one who's away. So your husband's away every night from 7 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning? So he says, yeah. So he says to her, I want to thank you on behalf of Klal Yisrael for allowing your husband to be Marbet's Torah. And she hung up the phone. So I read that story to my wife yesterday. I was hoping that would get me some work. Okay. Baruch Hashem, it worked. It was good. But the point is, it's very much appreciated to see that others appreciate what we're doing here also, and the amount of time and effort that we put into the share. It's unbelievable to see that you appreciate that, what we're doing here. And not only the financial part, all those that are behind the scenes doing things for this year and for the other shurim and for other things in my life that I know many people are very busy with, even though I know many of you here are extremely busy with your own lives, your financial life, your family lives, and yet you devote much time to try to help me in any way you can. It's extremely appreciated. I hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to give us the schus to continue learning here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the young Israel for housing us, giving us lights, heat, and air conditioning. Copy machines most of the time. But I hope and I pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to shower all of us here in this year with only bracha v'hatzlacha. We should continue to share many, many more simchas together. We should all grow together in learning. And we should all be zeichet to see the final geula together in Mitzvah Shem. We should all be zeichet to see the final building of the Beis HaMikdash together in our days. V'yameinu amen. Amen. We left off last time. We were talking about the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos told us if you have Ner Chanukah and Kiddush, so the Gemara said that Ner Chanukah goes first, because Ner Chanukah has a mile of Persume Nisa. The Gemara says Ner Chanukah is special because it has something called Persume Nisa. The Gemara also said that if you have Ner Chanukah and Shalom Bayis, so Shalom Bayis wins. So we mentioned yesterday, we mentioned last week Akasha from Reb Steinman. Mr. Shem should have a full Shalem as well. We mentioned from Reb Steinman Akasha that the Gemara wanted to know if you only have one candle. So you can either use it to light up your Shabbos meal, or you can use it to light Neres Chanukah. Which one do you do? So Steinman asked, why don't you do both? Let it switch over after the half an hour's man. Let it turn over to be Neres Shabbos. So Steinman said, because you can't make a bracha. Because since by the time when you lit the candle, it can't be Neres Shabbos, so you can't make the bracha. If you can't make the bracha, it doesn't work. So we asked, so let's just say brachas and not ma'akevas. So the truth is, there's an interesting Rabbi Yaakov Emden, a Morok Tzir. We spoke about this last year. Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a chiddush by Neres Chanukah. Rabbi Yaakov Emden holds that by Neres Chanukah, not Neres Shabbos, by Neres Chanukah, if you don't make a bracha on the Neres Chanukah, then you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Even though we have a law, brachas ein ma'akevas, mitzvahs and brachas are two separate entities, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, not by Neres Chanukah. Why, says Rabbi Yaakov? Because Neres Chanukah, without the bracha, it's not clear what you want to do. Because the activity that you're doing, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, is not a clear idea what you're doing. Kindling lights? People light lights all the time. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a shikul Torah. It's negate to answering up a ber halacha that we spoke about last year, about Neiris Bebeis HaKnesses. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden's point is that, again, if Stein was talking about Neiris Shabbos, I'm just mentioning that this Rabbi Yaakov Emden is true when it comes to Neiris Shal Chanukah. He holds that to light Neiris Chanukah without a bracha is meaningless. You get no credit. Unlike all other mitzvahs, where if you do the mitzvah without the bracha, it's okay. Yaakov Emden has a piece of Maruk Tzir where he thinks it's not like that when it comes to other when it comes to mitzvahs of Neir Chanukah. Yeah, he has a whole stick of the. Huh? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if that would fix the problem according to him. It's hard to understand what he's referring to because we know that the Neiris Chanukah are clearly different than other Neiris, the number and the place and all these other things. You know, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the reason why we don't let Menorah outside is because if you'd light Menorah outside, no one would be able to tell it's a Menorah. I'm not really sure what he's referring to. Again, I don't know how his homes looked in the late 1800s, but today it's very clear what a menorah is and what the street light is and what your house light is. Maybe back then everything just looked like one, you know, it was all lights everywhere. You couldn't tell exactly what it was. So then maybe it makes a little bit more sense. So then if you, again, even if you sing on Eretz Halal, that 2 minutes later the guy walking by, he's not going to know you sing on Eretz Halal unless you stayed there the whole night singing. Right. That's the kashya we had last time also. What about those who come later? That's what we spoke about over there.
Let me see,
yeah.
Why couldn't you make a bracha on both at the same time?
Because he says that you can't make the bracha. It's not a Neir Shal Shabbos now. You can't use it as Neir Shal Shabbos because it's also lahenos. It only becomes a Neir Shal Shabbos after the zman you're allowed to use it for Neir Chanukah. Then it switches over, and he has a raya from a taz that you can't make a bracha on a mitzvah. Then right now it's not a mitzvah. It will be a mitzvah in a half an hour. Right now it's not a mitzvah. That was Ishtikol Tar. Okay. Now, keeping this Gemara in mind, that the Gemara tells us Ner Chanukah is better because of Pesumei Nisa. So we spoke a little bit last week, and my cheshbon for today's shir, believe it or not, is to wrap up yesterday's sugya last week and start a new sugya. Okay? Maybe we'll have a new miracle of Chanukah, we'll have more time. I don't know. A new Nes of Chanukah. But in any case, we left off last time, we were trying to understand what exactly does this mean that Ner Chanukah is better because of Pesumei Nisa. Pashup Shat in the Gemara, it sounds like there's something special about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah because it has an element of Pesumei Nisa that you don't have by other mitzvahs. There's a very, very important Rambam over here. Number one, the Rambam is in Perek Gimel Hilchos Chanukah. The Rambam reads like this. Every word of this Rambam needs to really be meduyik. The Rambam says like this. Ubevnei ze hitkinu chachom sheba'oisa hador. Because of this, after the Rambam tells you the story of Chanukah, look, the Rambam, because of this, the chachom of that generation were mesakin. She yishmoines yomim ha'elu, these 8 days, shetchilos and chafei b'kislev, that starts on the 25th day of Kislev. Yimei simcha v'halal. Should be days of simcha v'halal. There's a ha'ar on this Rambam. Yimei Simcha. Where does it say anywhere that Chanukah is supposed to be Yimei Simcha? Purim, he knows Yimei Simcha. Where does it say anywhere that Chanukah is Yimei Simcha? Who told the Rambam that it's supposed to be Yimei Simcha? So not every Yom necessarily has to be Yimei Simcha. Whatever type, well, we'll have to see exactly what this means. They were Misakin as a Yom. So if Salvechik and Hari Kedem suggest that this Rambam is Lushitasa. There's a famous Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, when the Rambam describes the story of Chanukah, there the Rambam tells you that what happened in the times of the Yevonim was they wanted to stop doing all mitzvahs. So the Rambam, 2-3 more things. Upashtu yodam b'mimayinam, and they opened, they did what they wanted with our money, u'b'b'noyseim, and with our daughters. This is the words of the Rambam. So Rav Salvechik points out that you see from the Rambam that part of what Yevonim did to us wasn't just spiritual, pashtu yodam b'mimayinam, they took our money. It was an element of physicality as well in the decrees of the Yevonim. So he wants to tie in a lefizeh, the Rambam is l'shitase. Everyone else assumes that the Yom Tov of Chanukah is a spiritual holiday. All that spirituality, and therefore there's no chiyuv to mei simcha, we don't make it the same type of Purim, because our lives weren't in any form of danger. However, but according to the Rambam, since there was an element of not spiritual danger, they weren't going to kill us, they were just trying to take our money. So therefore he says that the Rambam l'shitase, that holds that they were trying to get our money as well, And it was just it was not just a spiritual danger. So that's why the Rambam Shitasi holds Yimei Simcha. Because since the Rambam holds it was not just a spiritual battle, that's why it can taka be Yimei Simcha for us as well. Most people assume, like the Megillas Antiochus, like the Medrash, that they only wanted to stop three mitzvahs. Shabbos, Kiddush, Chodesh, Shabbos, Mila. If you look in the Rambam, it's Mefurish, not like that. The Rambam learned Stamazay. They wanted to stop all mitzvahs and all Torah. They wanted to just eradicate the whole religion. But then the Rambam adds, Upashta Yodam Bimimimimimim. And they were taking our money. So everyone asks, where does that come in? So Salvechi thinks there was taka two things going on. There was a spiritual battle and there was also a physical battle. They were taking our money. They were doing what they wanted with our finances. So therefore, because of that Yeshua that came out, we also commemorated through Yimei Simcha. That's how Salvechik explained the Rambam L'Shitas, which means Lefizeh. Again, whatever Yimei Simcha means, I don't know if that means you should drink, I don't know if that means you should have a Suda. Whatever that means, Yimei Simcha means there's some form of reason for a celebration beyond the regular Nisan that we think of. Yeah.
Where the Rambam says
Shabbat
also
Hador. Yeah.
Where does that go?
I want to get to it. Okay. Yeah, when Moshe has a piece. Yeah, I want to get to Moshe Shtemach has a whole chiddush about this. How to learn Shabbat Isa Hador. We'll get to it. Okay. So then the Rambam goes on. Sorry, Rav Avram Gorovitz has a different shtickle term in this Rambam. He thinks the pshat in the Rambam is that one of the things the Yevonim didn't like about us was not only that we did Shabbos, Mila, and Kiddush HaChodesh, they didn't like our financial system. Because the Gemara tells us in a bunch of places that when a guy does... Jew and a guy have different rules of Chayshim Mishpat. Right? Shar Shisrael, Shanagach, Shar Shal Goy, Pater. There's all these different rules that when it comes to our mamonis and their mamonis. And that bothered the Yevonim. Why is it that we don't have the same rule system, right? You do something to a Jew, there's X rule, you do something to a guy. It's a different rule that bothered them. So somehow, Pashta Yadam B'Memoinim was the way of the Yevonim showing that, no, we don't want there to be a distinction between us and you and finances. We want us all to be the same. I guess the way they show that is by stealing our money. I don't really understand that. But the only reason why I don't like this chat is, first of all, I don't understand how that fits. And secondly, the Rambam L'Shitasa didn't learn like that. The Rambam didn't learn there were three mitzvahs that the Goyim had. According to the Rambam, they didn't like us completely. They didn't like any of the rules. Not just specifically those that make Jews different than Goyim. So Shtikl Tzarechi and Harib Gervitz learned this Rambam. But in any case, the Rambam continues. And the Rambam says, U'madlikim ben haneris be'erev al pischei habotim. And therefore we light the neiris at night on the doorway of our homes. The cholayla v'layla, every single night, mishmeinas halaylois, laharois ulegalois anes, to show and to reveal the nes. Okay? The yomim elu hei nikra in Chanukah. These days are what we call Chanukah. Ve'nasurin behesped of the tainis kimei purim, and it's a prohibition of holding eulogy and fasting just like there is by purim. So after Rambam v'hadlok as haneiros, bahen, these lighting candles, mitzvah medivei seifrim, it's a mitzvah, we'll call it midrabanan, ki kriyas ha-megillah, just like kriyas
ha-megillah.
Huh? Yeah. So many achronim, as far as I saw, goes back to the klechemda asks kasha. The kasha is, why does the Rambam repeat himself at the end of the halach? The Rambam starts telling you all about lighting candles, and he tells you where to light it and when to light it. Very beautiful. Then he tells you about the issur of eulogies and fast days. Great, terrific. Then the Rambam seems to repeat himself. So the Rambam v'hadlokas haneiros behen mitzvah de'vesoifim kikriyasim. Then he repeats himself again. You should light menorah again, like you read the Megillah. What was the need for the second mention of Halakha's Nes? We got the idea. You told me in the beginning of the Halakha, light Neiris Chanukah. I got it. What's this repetition of the Rambam in this last line? That Hadlokas HaNeiris Behen Mitzvah Medivisayfim Kikriyas Megillah. What do I need it for? What's he adding with the second line? So the idea that the Achreidim suggests, and this is found in many Achreidim, you find this in a whole list of Achreidim, that they suggest that the Rambam is alluding to the fact that there's Taka two mitzvahs in Neiris Chanukah. Salvation mentions like this, and number two, he writes about Nir, but that's a Rambam. There's two dinim, or maybe even two mitzvahs involved in the idea of a lighting Neiris Chanukah. Chada, the yesh b'hadlokas haner ki mitzvah medevisayfim shechayv b'hadlokas haner. The first part is the din Rabbanan. The Rabbanan instituted that to commemorate the miracle, everyone lights candles. That's rule number one. That's din number one. And that, he thinks, is the end of the Rambam. When the Rambam ends off and it says v'hadlokas haneiris behem medivrei seifrim, that's the second. That's what the Rambam is alluding to. He's alluding to this din of bimadlik neiris because Chazal said that's what we should do. And then there's another din. Then he says v'oid ne'ema, but there's another din. The yesh b'hadloka chiyav pirsum v'gilei hanes. There's another element of bimadlik neiris, not just because Chazal said light a candle, but Chazal said light a candle in a way that will create a spreading of the miracle. That's the second din. We'll call it. That's the first part of the Rambam. It's not the pshat that the Rambam holds that it's a separate thing. That it's Chazal said, light and air to be mefarsim the nes. No, it's light and air, A, and B, be mefarsim the nes. There's two separate dinim, two separate halachas that were made when it came to lighting an Erech Hanukkah. One was light an Erech Hanukkah, one, and there's another din to light a Hanukkah candle in a way that you can create Pir Samanis. El Dehem Shnei Kiyumim Nifradim. They're two separate independent parts to the mitzvah. The mitzvah is halachas Erech Hanukkah, din hadlaka, v'chavis Pir Sam Vigil Hanis. Okay.
So it makes sense, because if you're alone on a desert island, you would still have the chiyum to light the candle.
Exactly. That's where it's going to come in a lot, to the, you know, that type of idea. What happens when there's no way of being mefaris in the nes? So one would have thought without this Rambam, then there's no mitzvah. If the whole mitzvah is being mefaris in the nes, so when you have no pirsum in the nes, so you have no mitzvah. Says the Rambam, not like that. There's two parts to the mitzvah. There's bimadlik in there between you and the menorah. That's bimakam yedin hadlaka. Then there's another din, that this hadlaka should lead, should cause, should create a pirsum in the nes. So if you have one, you have one. If you don't, you don't. That would be the simple understanding of what Rav Salvechi is pointing out in the Rambam.
Well, is it two parts of one mitzvah or two mitzvahs?
Two elements, what we call two dinim, two elements to this one mitzvah. When Chazal sat down and made the mitzvah, Havalok Yerushalachana, they made two components to it. One is to light a menorah between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, light a menorah. There's one is try to create a feeling of pesum enis.
Wouldn't the nafkamina also be not only a desert island? You come home late at night from work.
Yeah, same nafkamina. The same nafkamina, right. The same nafkamina. When there's no pesum enis.
You're the only one home.
Right. When there's no pesum enis, there's still on. Which we'll talk about lahalach.
Well, just to clarify, because I thought you said there's two dinim. It's two separate mitzvahs.
No, it's not two separate mitzvahs.
So it's still
one mitzvah. It's one mitzvah be madlik nevoschanik, but there's two elements to it.
So if you're alone, then you do the mitzvah of hadlokas there, you're still being...
Right.
The mitzvah is still chaser or something.
Right, you're not getting both parts of it, but it's not the pshat that you didn't do the mitzvah and it's completely, you did half the mitzvah. There's two parts. You are.
There's no...
There's nothing you can do. You're not going to get the key mitzvah.
It's not a geya.
Right, but at the end of the day, you still weren't mefaris in the nes. It might not have been your fault, but you weren't mekayim. The problem with...
Reflect the two parts of the mitzvah, and if so, did you only make the first bracha?
I'm not so sure. I think Hadig Ner Shal Chanukah, or Hadig Ner Chanukah, whatever bracha you say. Also, Nisim, we need to talk about maybe not this week, a different time. We need to talk about exactly some of these brachas.
If you can't light, you can see how you can.
So we need to get to that. If you look all the way in the next, at the end of the page, there's a Taisis and Sokadat Memvav that's very relevant to what we need to talk about sometime about the din of Abrichas Haroya. You find the concept by Neres Chanukah, you don't find by other mitzvahs that if you see a menorah, you make a bracha. If I see a mezuzah, I don't make a bracha. What type of bracha? So that's a very important taisvis in Sukkah. That it's on the page, that means we're not going to get to it. But it's a school. If I put it on the page, I don't get to it. But it's something that needs to be talked about.
When Rambam uses the Lashon Divrei Sofim, is that just an approval?
Yeah,
I.
So we know from our extensive learning in Rambam here, we know when the Rambam says Midivrei Sofim, it's a question of what he means. He can even mean Midaraisa. We know the Rambam writes that in the beginning of Hilchos Kedushin. The Rambam uses a phrase that Kedusha Kesses Midivei Seifim. Right? We know that the words of the Rambam are not so clear to us when he writes Midivei Seifim, especially because Kriyas and Megillah, we spoke about last year, Purim time, that Megillah is questionable because it's Nevi'im, it might have a different status. Why the Rambam makes this connection to Purim, we need to talk about. Why does the Rambam need it? Just say, it's a new din. Why connect to the Purim? We'll have to talk about. The problem with this pshat is, if you assume like this, so how do you understand the Gemara? The Gemara we learned last week, the Gemara says that their Chanukah is better because of Pesum Enisa. So Bishlam, until we saw this Rambam, the way we learned it, that the whole Ner Chanukah is Pesum Enisa. That's it. That's the whole mitzvah. Soup to nuts. It's all about Pesum Enisa. So we said, you see a Gemara, if Pesum Enisa is so important, so it beats out anything else. But according to the way the Rambam's learning, it's not that Pesum Enisa is the whole mitzvah. There's an element of regularness, if that's the word, to this type of mitzvah. There's a regular Maisa mitzvah here, not only Pesum Enisa. So why is it so pasha that Ner Chanukah beats out Kiddush? Till we saw this Rambam, we were under the impression that the ganze mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is all about Pesum Enisa. That's the whole Mahosa mitzvah. So we said, So if the Mahosa mitzvah is Pesum Enisa, you see it's a special type of mitzvah. But according to the way the Rambam's learning, that it's not the only part of the mitzvah. It's one element of the mitzvah. But there's another element of the mitzvah that's like any other Maisa mitzvah. So now why is it so posh that Ner Chanukah beats out Kiddush? It's not a kasha. I think the answer is because it still has that one element, right? It's still more than anything else, right? Even though it's not the whole mitzvah, but it's at least a very big part of the mitzvah. Yeah.
There's two elements, or the main thing is Pesum Enisa, and Chazal will tell you maybe Pesum Enisa means
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, as we'll see in a few minutes, the way Salvechik explains this, it sounds like there's two completely separate things that are taking place every single time we light a menorah. And when Chazal sat down and
how do you do Pesum Enisa without lighting candles?
No, of course. There's no question, obviously. You need
electric menorah.
Yeah, I think electric menorah is Pesum Enisa. I think that is Pesum Enisa. I think that is Pesum Enisa. You know, until the tshuva from Rosh Malkus came out, I think a lot of people thought this probably is okay to use electric menorah. I'm still not convinced you can't. But in any case, In any case, but the point is that when Chazal sat down and said, okay, Jewish people from now on are going to light a menorah every single 8 nights, what were they thinking? What was the purpose of this? According to the way of salvation explained to Rambam, they were thinking two things. We want you to light a menorah, and we'd also want there to be a pirsum anes. But they're not necessarily dependent one on the other. Till we saw this Rambam, we all thought it's hainu hach, it's the same thing. Light a candle, to be mefaris and anes. According to salvation, it's not like that. The million-dollar question is, what's this tudinim? I understand the second side of being mefaris and anes. That makes sense to me. What's this first side just to make a hadlaka? For what? For what purpose? So one could have learned that when Chazal sat down and decided how we're going to commemorate the miracle, there's two ways to commemorate it. There's between me and my menorah. I have to do something that reflects my remembrance of the miracle, and that's when I light a menorah and there's no one else around. And there's another din, Chazal said, we want not only that you should experience the miracle, we want that everyone should experience the miracle, and that's persubinis. That, I think, is a very geschmack way of learning the tut stud. If Salveitchik over here, number three, has a slightly different way of learning the first sat. He says like this, Ubebir shnei kiyum ma'elu nira. What's this idea of these tutstadim? The hadlokas ne Chanukah mulvad mashi al neis Chanukah. Besides the whole story of Chanukah, Hari Katzvu Hari Shaim Diyesh Bedin Zechel Mikdash al Hamenayru. The reason why we light the menorah, says of Salvechik, is not so much because of all the miracles that took place. It was somewhat to commemorate the actual menorah lighting. The Tamils and Nira the who mishum Chanukah samizbeach shahisa oz bismeyan hachash menorim. Because there was a Chanukah samizbeach took place. There was a whole new procedure that was done. Now, it's not clear if he means, like some people say, that it was the same time as the original Chanukah samizbeach took place in the times of the Mishkan, which we read in the Kriyas HaTorah. But it sounds like, no, right now, after the Beis HaMikdash, after all that got destroyed during the Yevanim, they had to commemorate a new process. They had to make a new Chanukah samizbeach. So therefore, says Rav Salveitchik, the menorah that we're lighting on Chanukah is not because of the oil and the war. The menorah that we're lighting is to commemorate the rededication that they did back then. So therefore, it's not really connected to the idea of the miracle. It's to commemorate the Chanukah HaMizbeach that happened then, and therefore we light a menorah today. So he says, Lefi Zeh, he says, Ayin b'Rambam b'reish parashas ba'aloyscho, shebir da'adlokas ner Chanukah meshech sheichlin in Chanukah Sabayis, v'chein kriyas ha'toyer b'Chanukah sheichlin, that's the kriyas ha'toyer that we read, toha kriyi b'nyin Chanukah Mishkan ha'dei anasim. I always thought the Pshat was because we have nothing else to read from. Meaning, the whole story of Chanukah was after the times of the Torah. So what are you going to read? You have to find something to read. So we found the Shtikl Smach, who said, hey, this has happened at the same time, so we'll read from there. He's saying it's a lomnish reason why we read the Chanukah Sanasim. We don't just read the Nasim because we have nothing else to read. We read the Nasim because that's an element of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, quote of Salvation. Umeyatad yir, the mitzvah sadloka luchudo, he keneged ha-menorah v'zeichel ha-medesh v'shem Chanukah Sanasbech. So according to Salvechik's understanding of the Rambam, it comes out when we light a menorah for 8 days, part of why we're lighting the menorah has nothing to do with the oil, with the war, none of that. Nothing what they taught you in third grade. It's all about to commemorate the Chanukah HaMizbeach that took place in the times of the Chashmonaim. To commemorate that, we light a menorah today. Now, one could have made the argument, Lefiza, maybe our menorah should be like their menorah. We should go down to seven. Right? It shouldn't be eight, it should be seven.
Okay.
Oh, so the Pirsum Anisa, he says, that's the other element. V'chi of Pirsum Anesh Shabbat Mishum Neis Chanukah. And the Pirsum Anesh is to spread the miracle part. The first part wasn't a miracle. It was a remembrance. There was a Chanukah HaMizbeach. That's what took place. And we're commemorating what they did through our lighting. And then there's a second din. You want to spread a miracle. The miracle was the oil or the war you pick. So according to Salvechik, it's a whole different Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. Maybe we should have done this the first day of Chanukah, not the last day of Chanukah, right? But according to Salvation, it comes at a whole different idea. When you're lighting the menorah, part of why we're lighting the menorah has nothing to do, per se, with the miracle of the oil or the war. It has to do with the commemorating the fact that there was a rededicating of the Kelim and the Beis HaMikdash, and because of that, that new Chanukah HaMizbeach, for that reason, we light the menorah again.
And the truth is,
which Rashi? Yeah. That would definitely be very geschmack according to that. Works very nicely, the connection between the menorah. Right, yes.
You need another reason because the first night really doesn't commemorate a nace because it was enough for one night.
Yeah, you can talk about that also. Yeah, so, that's another pshat.
So you needed another reason for the first night.
You could use that to answer the Beis HaMikdash question.
Was like, in the Beis HaMikdash, right. Though, when they lit the menorah, it's like there was an Indian of the second, third, fourth?
What do you mean the second?
They had seven.
Right, they didn't do anything different on Chanukah.
I'm saying, but how did they light the menorah there in the Mishkan? Was there an Indian of having seven lids or six lids?
I'm assuming it was like whatever it was in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, it was the same seven.
There you should make some one.
Oh, okay.
Only one good, candle good. Could do it.
Okay, good.
One,
we're going to have to talk about that. That's the next half is Neri Shabbos. Yeah, we're going to have to get to that. The problem that I have with this Rambam is that according to Salvechik, so the first half of the Rambam is the Pesumei Nisa part, and the second half is what we'll call the Din Hadlaka part. The problem with Fizeh is when you read the end of the Rambam says, V'hadlokas ha'neiris behem, v'divisayifim kikriyas ha'megillah. Kriyas ha'megillah, if Salvation told us last week, is Pesumenisa. This is why you had a whole kasha. Why is that Megillah is Pesum Nisa for the Jews and Chanukah is Pesum Nisa for the Goyim? But according to historical Torah, it's not true. Because the Rambam over here is not addressing the Pesum Nisa part of Ner Chanukah. He's addressing the element of Maisa Hadlaka. So why does the Rambam connect it to Kriyas and Megillah? It's not like Kriyas and Megillah. Kriyas and Megillah is Pesum Nisa. This is not Pesum Nisa.
So if anything, say it's going on just
Egypt, right? Right, right. So that's the answer, right? The answer is that when he says Kikriyas and Megillah, he doesn't mean it's mamish like Megillah. He means it's the idea of Megillah, that Chazal made mitzvahs that you should do on a Yom Tov. That's what it means. But if you're going to get too literal, you're going to ask yourself, well, it's not really true, because Megillah was instituted to be Mefarsim and Ace. This is not to be Mefarsim and Ace. Okay, not a kasha, just a ha'ara, that according to Salvechik, you have to know how to read that line, Kikriyas and Megillah.
Yeah, but by Megillah, don't you have to read it privately, even if...
Correct, but the point
is... There's a din of reading it.
There is.
Whether you're being farce in
the Right, right, but we just mentioned last time that the Salvation pointed out that the whole idea of Megillah was to be farce in the Nesis. So you want to say maybe there's two dinim of Megillah also.
Yeah, okay. Right. You have to read it by yourself.
Yeah. We're going to have to... But Lina Edda, that's going to take us to Purim. We'll have to get to that. Okay, we'll have to talk about it. We'll have to talk about it. It's a good horror. Okay. So according to Salvation's understanding of the Rambam, we have two dinim in Neres Chanukah. We have two ways of understanding why Chazal were Masakin the idea of Neres Chanukah. There's a famous Gemara in Shabbos number 4. The Gemara talks about where to put your menorah. So the Gemara starts off in Ner Chanukah number 4. Dr. Gemara, Ner Chanukah mitzvah laniach lahanicha pesach beisoy mibachutz. The Gemara says, where do you put your menorah? Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to put it on the doorway outside of your house. So Menachos Asher, Basha Weiss points out that the word mitzvah always means lachatchila. It doesn't mean it's ma'akif. Mitzvah means this is preferred. And if you wouldn't do it, it would also be okay. So Rabbi Shuais points out. Says the Gemara, Mahidar Bali, if you live on a second floor, Semenicha Bechalanes Michlash Ram, you put it by a window. Or Bishasa Sakana, when it's dangerous, Zog the Gemara, Menicha Al Shulchan of the Diet. You put it on the table and that's good enough. So this Gemara is the source and halacha of where you're supposed to put your menorah. This is the whole tumult in today why we don't put our menorahs outside. Okay, it's a shmooze for a different time. But from the Gemara, the way we understand it, there's a hierarchy. Either put it outside, either put it by the window, or put it on the table. So the question is, what would have happened with Zman HaGemara? Where it's as safe as can be. There's no sakana, there's nothing. And some guy decides he's lighting his menorah inside. Would he be yotzei in the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah? Would he still be yotzei in the mitzvah? Would one make the argument that the Gemara means that this is the way it has to be, and if you don't have it this way, you're talking about yotzei? Or the Gemara means like, Shabbos means the Gemara, mitzvah, means it's preferred, lechatchil, it should be like this. What would happen if a yid in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, maybe even the times of the third Beis HaMikdash, where it's going to be safe and no problems, the guy decides he wants to light his menorah inside? What do you say? Right, so if you read the Gemara like Rav Asher Weiss, then the assumption is mitzvah lechatchila. Let's say you read the Gemara with that. That's what I'm trying to get to over here. That's where we're going with this. Pashtus, one would have learned this Gemara, that the Gemara is giving you very clear directions of how to be able to carry the mitzvah of Lukas Ner Chanukah. And if you were to do it unlike the way the Gemara describes it, it wouldn't be yotze. That would have been the gut feeling of how to read the Gemara.
Well, there's still a dinner pesum nisa for bnei beisoy.
Good, yeah, there is still a dinner pesum nisa for bnei beisoy, right?
And there were different houses. They didn't have windows.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm talking about a case, we'll see if Salvation takes it to the biggest stream. Let's say you're talking about a case where you're lighting with there's absolutely no Pesum Nisa. You're going to put it right next to your regular candelabra, no one will know the difference. Even your B'nai Beis will know the difference. No one knows anything. But you did a Menorah. No one knows. Not one person walks by this Menorah and says, I see Menorah. To them, it all looks the same. Would you then still be Yetzid Nitz? So he points out, if you look at number 5, the Rambam, when the Rambam writes this halach, the Rambam writes interesting. Rabbi Asher Weiss himself, in that piece of Menachas Asher, he wants to tie in a lehepach from the first Rambam that we read. The first Rambam that we read, the Rambam says, where do you put the menorah? Umadlikim ben haneris be'erev. You light it at night, al pischei habotim, by the doorway of your home every night. So Rabbi Asher Weiss points out, we know lighting at night is ma'akev, there's no question, you can't light menorah during the day. But why did the Rambam write, where to light it, with the same level of when to light it? So he wants to be medayak the other way from this Rambam, says Rabbi Asher Weiss, from this Rambam, that the Rambam says that you light it at your doorway at night, the same way that night is ma'akiv, so at your doorway is also ma'akiv. So he thinks from the first Rambam that we mentioned is mashma the other way, that the Rambam would hold if you lit inside at a time when it was safe, your taka wouldn't be yaitze. The same way if you lit menorah at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're not yaitze. So if you lit menorah inside, you're not yaitze. That was his deal from the Rambam.
Who says, I know it says, I'll take the face of Bafut, I know it says the word, but in those days, that was the only way to be mafara.
No, so I'm doing. The guy lit his menorah on a dining room table.
No, I'm saying, but in the time that it was written, they didn't have windows. We didn't have big pictures. No, I forget. So what's a nafka mina literally today?
Yes, you're right.
Putting it outside,
Probably you're right.
In a big, giant
Probably you're right.
Where it's just as visible.
That's the probably the limud chus on most of Klai Yisrael today. They say themselves the window is no different than lighting it outside.
Who says that it ever meant that it had to be outside? Only that it had to be visible from the outside.
We could debate it. Meaning,
what
do
you mean?
Because they didn't have another alternative. You didn't have windows in their houses.
Yeah.
The other option was
put on the shulchan. I hear. I hear the deal. The Gemara gives you very clear levels of hierarchy, right?
It may not be hell or
a pisrei abatim. Right. It's not clear. It could be inside. Right.
Isn't there, with all of this, is there a fundamental question, which is whether, given the fact that they're writing these suggestions or these halachas or however you want to describe them at a particular point in time and in a particular environment, and we're post Gemara times, that it should adjust at any point in time in terms of what the obligations are for us. So in the five towns, is there really an argument to be made, halacha lemaisa, that it shouldn't be lit outside, and should we be able to adjust?
Yeah, I think it's the big one. It's a big halachic discussion, 100%.
Including the time.
100%. That's fair. I think that is a discussion.
Lighting it for
there is a discussion like that in literature, 100%.
When nobody's around.
100%. So if you look at the Rambam in number 5, the Rambam writes something interesting. The Rambam writes, "B'mei asakono meniach odom nechanake b'seich beisei." The Rambam says that when it's a sakana, you put the menorah in your house, mi bifnim, va'afilu hinichu al shulchani. Even if you put it on your table, daya, it's good enough. So Salvechik is bothered. What do you mean, even? He doesn't say even. The Gemara says, menichu al shulchani. What's va'afilu? What's the even? So Salvechik wants to tell you that pshat in this Rambam is the Rambam is different than the Ramah. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that when you light inside, you at least have persumenisa midday base. So you don't have persumenisa of the outside, you have persumenisa of your family. He wants to tell you that the Rambam is va'afilu, is even if you put it on the table. And no one's going to know anything. Zero persumenisa whatsoever. No one will know Zehu Ner Chanukah. They won't know that this is different than a regular candelabra. Still, the Rambam says you yotze. So he writes over here, how does that make any sense? How could that be? There's no persumenisa. Teretz is l'shitasai. It's the Rambam l'shitasai. If the ganze mitzvah, the whole mitzvah soup to not says persumenisa, then the Rambam doesn't make any sense. But if you're willing to say that there's two parts to the mitzvah, there's a ma'isa hadloka and an aspect of persumenisa in the Rambam's geshmak, then the Rambam's telling you that even though you can't get the other din of persumenisa, you could still be mekayim the din of hadloka.
There were diet fits in nicely.
Yeah, right. Then diet fits enough to be mekayim the mitzvah. So now, this is all fine and dandy, d'mishasa sakana. How do you understand the Gemara? The Gemara says that if everything's good, then you light the menorah outside. B'shasa zakana, you bring the menorah inside. Yesh lachka. Was the pshat that b'shasa zakana, we re-changed the rules? We now wrote new rules. Meaning, really, Ner Chanukah is supposed to be done outside. If it's Eis, Lasis, Lashem, you have no choice. So we made new rules. And in the new rules, we say that you light it inside. Maybe not.
Do we have the authority, though, to go back over what, say, the
Shonim and the Gemara did that. The Gemara did that. The Gemara says, B'shasa zakana. Means when the Gemara
So
that's what Salvechik's point. He wants to tell you that the Rambam wasn't saying that. Meaning, one could have asked, so good, that's all true by a Shasa Sakana. Shasa Sakana, the rules were different. So Salvechik, it's not true. Shasa Sakana is not different than a regular time. Every time you deal with Menorah, you always have these two dinim. You have the Hadlaka and the Pirsum. So when it's a Shasa Sakana, you have no choice, so you can only take one of the two dinim. But says Salvechik, let's say it's not a Shasa Sakana, and you still live inside with no Persuminisa, you're still Yetzer. Because the other din of Hadlaka. That's his chiddush. Now one could have argued. One could have said that if it's a Shasa Sakana, it's not a separate different set of rules. And it's the whole different lomnus than when it is not a Shasa Sakana. If Salvechik thinks not so, he thinks it's completely two separate dinim. And even if a person's madlik bifnim, when there's absolutely no Sakana, and no Persum and Nisa for anyone, he thinks it's still Yetzer and Neres Chanukah because of the other din.
But don't we say again, and maybe this is the Machlokus, that if you come home 1 o'clock in the morning,
and nobody's up. So Frektiv Salvechik, he asks on himself. He says, 1 second, if I'm right, that there's two dinner of Neres Chanukah, one is to be Madlik and one is to be Fars from the Nays, so why does the Gemara give you all this time of when you have to light? And Gemara says, how late can you light? How late? Light until you want.
Well, the fact that you can even light.
Right. Well, what's the Gemara's giving Shurim of how late you can light? Pashup Shah, you think how late you can light, because that's the Gansa Mitzvah. That's the whole Mitzvah. That's the whole Mitzvah. You can't do the Mitzvah. But according to Salvechik Lomdis and the Rambam, that there's two parts, two equal, very important
parts.
Light during the day. So, yeah, during the day, light whenever you want. So he says, he addresses this question in the end of P6. He says, "V'ein l'tumah al divareinu." Don't ask me kashas. M'mashe pasuk Rama perik dalar halacha heid lo achas shekol abegim rashuk in a madal klal. That the Rama pasuk that after it gets no longer this traffic outside, you can't even light at all. Why not? Ul divareinu t'charet sarachin. Am I layad the kol alayla l'kayim b'tzad lo kamiyah? Why don't you light just to even kind the other din? Avshal yotzi de chavas a pirsam anes. Even though it won't be a pirsam anes, but you still did your ma'isad lo. So he says, "Achin yeshloim adloy kasha midi." It's not a kasha. The hazman shall tichlereg and minashok who meikar hatakana. So Salvezik is coming and saying, "You're right. Maybe that might have been the lomdus, but when they made up the yomtiv, they made it with boundaries. This is the way they made it up. They made up you light from now to then. Now you can tell me reasons that he reasons are here all day long, but this is the way they made up. Now the question is fine. So why did they make it up this way? They should have remade the yomtiv. If according to this lomdus, when Chazal sat down and made the time for Chanukah, they should have changed it. They should say, well, you can light menorah all day long as you're lighting it." So that he doesn't address. But he says that it's not a kasha because he feels that the zmanim that we have is the way they made up the mitzvah. Rav Moshe has the same piece in the tshuva because Rav Moshe has a chiddush where he thinks persumenis is also not ma'akiv. That's why he has a piece where if you're by yourself, Rav Moshe holds, if you're lighting by yourself at 2 o'clock in the morning, no one's up, no one's awake, Rav Moshe holds, you still light. Because Rav Moshe holds, similar to what Rav Salvation is saying, there's really two din with the bracha, not like the shayar tzin. He thinks you make a bracha, not like the chemin Moshe. But Rav Moshe sounds like this. And Rav Moshe asks the same kasha on himself. According to me, that persumenis is not ma'akiv, so why does the Gemara give you shu'im? And he gives the same answer like Rav Salvation suggests. That ain't a chanami, but this is the way they set up the mitzvah. The way they set up the mitzvah is it has to be done before specific.
Sort of interesting because you break up in Hanukkah, Mahadrin, Mahadrin, do everything else, but when it came to,
exactly.
The mitzvah,
it's a very strange thing.
It sounds like it's an all or nothing.
Right, so that's really what it sounds
contrary
like.
Contrary to what?
Now, the truth is, the halacha that of salvation concludes that you're allowed to be yoitz in their Hanukkah if you'd light inside, they taina is mavur in a rajba. There's a rajba number 7 on the Gemara we learned last week. The Gemara had a question that if you have ner basev in their Hanukkah, you have one candle. You can either have it at your Shabbos meal, or you can have it at your menorah. Which one do you use? So the Rajba says, I don't understand. Vim Isa the Mutulishtamish Loiro, if you're allowed to use the candle, Oisid Ner Echod, the candle account. Fact the Rajba, what's the problem? If you hold it, you're allowed to be Nene from Neris. If it's for a purpose of spirituality, it's not just to count money, it's for something more than that. Then you're allowed to be Mutulishtamish Loiro, like there's one sheet to lie down in Shulchan Aruch. So what's the most problem? Put your menorah on the dining room table, use the menorah for menorah, use it to eat the Shabbos meal, and we're good to go. Says the Rajba, V'olo the candle account, Umenicha al Shulchan Vedayo. The same way that b'shas tzakana this works, it should work here also. So the Rashi, the reason why that's not an option, it must be because we hold not like that. We hold you're not allowed to use the Ner Chanukah even for tashmish shlamitz. So Achareinim ask, what are you talking about? How can you bring the menorah inside? If it's taken not a b'shas tzakana and it's safe outside, you can't bring the menorah inside. You're not yoitzah. What type of eitz is this? Frek the Rashba Kasha, bring the menorah inside and put it on your dining room table. I can't put it on my dining room table. You're not allowed to light inside. If you're not allowed to light inside because it's safe outside, you have to light outside. If I was to light inside, I'm not yoitzah. So what's this eitz of the Rashba? The Rashba comes with a kasha. I don't understand the conflict. You can't have, you only have enough money for one candle. Which one do you pick? Don't pick. Bring the menorah inside, put it on the dining room table, have your nerachanik on the dining room table, eat your Shabbos food on the dining room table, and everything is good. What do you mean everything is good? You're not yoitzah. If assuming it's not a shasakana, now it's not, could be when the Rashba lived, it was a given, it was a shasakana. But he adds a line over here in the Rashba. He says, kiderech she'amru b'shasakana. The same way by shasakana we could bring it in, bring it in here also. So it sounds like from the Rashba lived that shasakana is not the pshat, that only shasakana. It sounds like when you have a good reason to bring the menorah in, so you can do it. So here for the Rashba, this is a good reason. So you see from the Rashba, that couldn't have been that lighting inside is not good. Because if lighting inside is not good, what type of eitz is this? Bring the menorah inside. You're not yetz.
So he would have to hold that there's two dinim in that.
Right, so he would be a right to salvation. He's sorry. That even if you light inside when it's not dangerous, it's still yetz to the mitzvah because of the ma'isa hadlak.
Why is Michael Bavin, why could you say that the mishpach alone is not pursuing Yisra?
Meaning the Rajba's case?
Yeah, his family should be
not pursuing Yisra. Yeah, but him. But that's a kashimir on the Gemara. When the Gemara said put the menorah outside, what happened to the family? So obviously, in that side of the Gemara, they felt that's not good enough, which needs explanation. I'm not here to justify that. We need to see that's a Taisus and Shabbos. Taisus talks about, you know, today that we light late. Should we even bother lighting for our family? Do we take the family? Do we take the outside into consideration? It seems like there was like a switchover of persimmonisa to the outside to persimmonisa to the family. It needs more, definitely more explanation.
So you can understand lighting inside and follow that. I don't need Chazal to tell me that it's dangerous not to light outside.
Correct, that's the Ritzvah's kasha. That's Ritzvah's kasha.
So what Chazal is saying is that the fact that you're able, that in this Shasa country you're able to do it inside, yes, means always you can do it,
yeah,
inside. But this is
what, yes, I agree. I agree. If you learn the Gemara, Shasa Sakana, the way many Rishonim learn the Gemara, Shasa Sakana means it's windy. Meaning, so many Rishayim think Shasakana is a fancy way of saying we have a good reason to take it outside and bring it inside. So that's the Rashba's good. That's a good reason. Because I don't have enough Neiros is a good reason. That's, I think that's such a way of, I think one can learn the Rashba like that as well. Okay, let's go one more step with this Rambam. So if Salavitchik wants to suggest, one second. According to this Rambam, would you have to have Kavona to be Yotze the Mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Chanukah? When we all light the menorah, are we mechamet mekayim the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Chanukah? We say, oh, hey, mitzvah is Rabbanan. Mitzvah is any tzrichas Kavona Rabbanan. I don't have to think anything. I'm thinking about the latkes. I don't have to think about anything. That would be the assumption. The problem is there's another Rambam over here. The Rambam in number 8, Hilchas Chanukah Perek Dal. The Rambam writes, Mitzvah Neir Chanukah, mitzvah chavivahi ad moed. It's a very beloved mitzvah. V'tzarech odom lizor bo, you have to be careful. Kedei lohidia hanes, in order to notify the miracle. Ulohoisif b'shevach hakel v'hoidoloi al hanisim shoyisalanu. And by doing so, you add your praise and thanks to Hashem on the nisim that He did for us. What did Ram just add here? The Ram added a massive element to the Hadlakas Neir Chanukah experience. It's not just a pu'ula. It's no longer just an action, according to the Rambam. It's not just light a candle. It's that this candle lighting is supposed to create a hoisafa of your adding praise and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just light a candle. It's not just light a candle and people should know. You have to be self-motivated, says the Rambam, to be moisif shevach to Hashem and to thank Him. Says of Salavetchik, lefizeh, an unbelievable chiddush. He says, according to this Rambam, it comes out that the purpose of the Ner Chanukah is to be ohido, and not just pesumin nisa. So he says, at the end of the long piece of number 9, he says, according to this, it comes out that if the part of the mitzvah is not just the ma'isa hadlaka, it's that you yourself have to come out and be ma'isev shevach avodah through doing so. So he says in number 10, asher nir lefizeh, the after mitzvah hadlaka is ner chanukah ma'isa hadlaka, amakivin she'ikra hukim shal hadah, since it's a fulfillment of thanks and gratitude, b'meila kavona ma'akevitz ba, the lechefta shal hadah tzarech kavona. So Salvation's tongue is a massive chiddush halacha. According to this second Rambam that we learned, even though we just got finished saying that it's just a mice of hadlaka, just kindle the fire, it's not. It's more than that. It's that this lighting is supposed to create a hoidah from you, and that needs kavanah. Therefore, if a person is madlik without this element of kavanah, it's takana yetzah.
Well, that's why they were sacking the brachas.
That's why, absolutely, right? He says, v'alkeinim yadlik ha'ner chanukah b'loi kavanah l'yotzdei chavosei, it's takana yetzah. However, he says, the last piece, that depends. Right, he says the b'shasas according to shemadik b'fnim ain b'ze klal kiyum shal person miniso umemela ain hadlaka zu chefsa shal hayda. He thinks it's only a chefsa of hayda when you're being mafars in the nes. Ulefize igamim hidlik shaloi b'kavana yotza umushem de la ma'isa hadlaka greida but the rabbanan kaim the mitzvah says tzvichas kavana. He thinks when is hayda a part of the ma'isa hadlaka? That's when you're being mafars in the nes. So when you're being mafars in the nes, you have to also realize what you're doing. But if I'm not being mekayim person miniso because I'm lighting inside. So then I'm only using the other element of Neres Chanukah, the Ma'isa Hadlaka. I'm only using the Ma'isa Hadlaka. I don't need Kavanah for that. That's Mr. Sin Shvichas Kavanah. Yeah.
One who says that Pursuman Isa has to do with
Hodah. Right, right.
Who says lighting inside is not Pursuman Isa.
Right, right. He's going in the case where he argues in the Ramah, even if you talk a Madik Bifnim where there's no hacker, he still thinks you would still be Yates. Okay, that's Salvation's understanding of the Ramah. Very quickly go to the next side. Rav Moshe Shtemach has a whole different Mahalach. And this Rambam and Perek Gimel. The Rambam, he learns the Rambam, he's bothered with the Kasha. Who gave the Rambam, who gave Chazal at the time of the story of Chanukah to make a new Yom Tov? That's not Chazal's job. Chazal's job is not to make up new holidays. Chazal's job is to enforce and to ensure we keep the rules that were given to us from Hashem. That's their job. To give us Gedarim, that was their job. Their job was not to make new things. So who gave them the right to make a new Yom Tov of Chanukah? That's the Kasha. So Moshe Shtemach suggests in the middle, he says, Rak Nira, the Chachomim Sheba'isa Dor Hitzkin Lizmanom Levad. He comes up with a massive chiddush that the story of Chanukah was only for that generation. They were misakad for that generation. Those who lived it, those who experienced it, they should celebrate the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Levad Chanukah liyam simcha halvoida. V'rak hesped v'tanas hishiu l'darius l'parsam anes. The other element of what that stuck around, the idea of hesped v'tanas, that stuck around forever. But the first part of the Rambam, the idea of the simcha v'halo, that tak was only back then, which Lefizeh is good. We asked, where did the Rambam get the din of yimei simcha from? The answer is, it's not true today. It was true then. Not today. Maybe back then, the times of Chanukah was like Purim. I don't know. Only today it's not like that.
What does he do with the
Hadlakas
Neiros?
Uh-uh. Kriyas Megillah is not that. So he says, Hadlakas Neiros, that idea of being Madlak Neiros for future generations, that was Als Pirsa Menes. That's not called Hisaf on the Torah. Given the Kavu Ledoris Chanukah Liyom Tav Mamishka Shal Torah. They never made a Yom Tif Ledoris. They made a Dindra Bani. You have to do something that they can do. That what Chazal did was only at that time they made it Yemei Simcha. They never made that Chanukah should be a Yom Tov for future generations. They said you have to light a menorah. Good, that they can do. They tell you you have to do it, but they can't make a Yom Tov. So according to this Rav Moshe, it's unbelievable. Comes that the Gantz Yom Tov of Chanukah was generation. That generation had Yom Tov, you made Simcha, and how was a whole experience. But for later generations, it was just to be Malik in there.
Why am I missing the 64 of
it? All those donuts, I don't know. You don't need them. That's how Rav Moshe Shtemach understands this Rambam. Okay, do we have any more time, or are we out of time? Okay, so let's try to do one more sugya that we were supposed to get to today. There's a very famous chakira when we talk about Ner Chanukah. Is Ner Chanukah a chiv on the Gavra, or is it a chiv on the Beise? That sounds very lumdish, but it needs a lot of explanation. So let's try to break that down into English. What does this mean exactly? How does Ner Chanukah work? So the Gemara tells us, number 12, Tana Rabbana mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, Ner Ishu Beise. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the basic beer level mitzvah, is Ner Chanukah Ish, Ner Ishu Beise. Candle, a man in his house. If I'm Hadrin, if you want to be a little frumer, so then it's Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad, which is a machoikis Rushainim, what that means. And you want to be even firmer than that, if I'm Hadrin, Min HaMahadrin, so that's machoikis B'Sham B'Sham B'Sham, what you do. But let's talk about the basic requirements. What's the basic requirements? Ner ish ubeis. What does that mean, ner ish ubeis? It's like Rashi number 13. Ner echod b'chol layla. You light one candle every night. V'ish v'chol b'nei beisoy. Sagi luhu b'ner echod. And everyone is enough with this one candle. Which means according to Rashi, what does it mean, ner ish ubeisoy? It means every night you light one candle, and that goes to the whole family. Now what does it mean, v'sagi luhu b'ner echod? It's enough with one candle. So the Achronim might be taken from Rashi, that Rashi holds it's really a chayv gavra. Really, each one of us, every person in your house has a chayv talat menorah. But for some reason, they're yoytze with one maisa hadlaka. Not that it's a chayv habayis. If it would be a chayv habayis, so why does Rashi say v'sagi luhu b'nerah? What's sagi luhu? I only need that much. It was a din in each house, so each house has to have menorah. It shouldn't matter how many people live in the house. From Rashi, it sounds like each person really has to light, and how do they get around it? V'sagi luhu b'nerah. So they want to be dyed from Rashi. The Rashi holds really a chayvus gavra. Really, each and every person has an obligation to put up a menorah. But for some reason, we let you get away with the easiest level. We allow you to have one person light for everyone with some type of a shlichus.
Now, why can they be motzi then?
Well, they are. But again, we'll see in a second. But we don't find this. But
that's the case of
Arvis. But it's not Arvis. He's doing a mitzvah for you.
Each person.
What do you mean by Arvis? He's doing a ma'isa mitzvah for you. That's not Arvis. Arvis works to be motzi you in some form of a chiyuv, in verbal chiyuv. This is an action. I didn't light the menorah. How do I get schar for lighting the menorah? Through shlichus.
Each person has a house.
Ah, okay, good, good. We'll get to that.
Each person has owns that house.
So we'll need, that's a discussion.
So
let's say two people own a house and they share together the house, but they both rent an apartment together. How many menorahs do you need to put in the house? So that's one of the nafkaminas. If it's a chayvus bayis, it's only one house. No, well, you're not going to say it's two homes because two people live in it. It's still only one house. But if it's a chayvus gavra, so then there's two separate gavras in this house. That's one way of
the achrin. The element of persimmonisa, if it's only one candle.
Yeah, right. That's a some question. That's, you know, why would they make up a mitzvah with levels? That's a strange thing. Right? Normally mitzvahs are do mitzvahs. So here is this hierarchy, this level, that level. Hopefully we'll get to it. But the next Rashi is important. Number 13 Rashi is v'amahadrin. What does it mean v'amahadrin? Like Rashi achra mitzvahs. Oisin ner echod b'chol laylo l'chol echod ve'echod b'bnei habayis. How does Rashi learn mahadrin? Rashi learns mahadrin differently than the Rambam. Rashi learns that each person lights his own candle. That's Mahadrin. So it's Rashi Lishitas is very understandable. Because according to Rashi, it's really a Chayvus Gavra. If it's really a Chayvus Gavra, I really should be like my own Menorah. But for some reason, Chazal let me go away easy and told me I'm Yetzi with one Menorah. But a Mahadrin means a guy who wants to go beyond his call of duty. He wants to be more from, so he likes his own Menorah. So it's Rashi Lishitas is very nice. The Rambam Shita seems to be not like this. The Rambam seems to hold that Menorah is a Chayvus Habayis. The Rambam writes, Kama Neris Hu Madik Bechanika, how many candles do you light? Mitzvos Ishiyo Kol Bayis Hu Bayis Madik Nerechot. Each house should have a candle lit. It's a funny lashon. Each house should have a candle lit. So the Achronim Amadayik from this Rambam, that the Rambam holds as a chayvus bayis. It's obligatory on the house. Each house has to have a menorah. Man, how many people live in the house? Why? Because it's not a chayvus gavra. If it's a chayvus gavra, each individual has a chayv good. So then we can start to talk about if each person lives there. But Zok Rambam doesn't matter because it's a din in the bayis. Doimet to mezuzah, let's say. Zok Rambam, what's mahadir? The mahadir is a mitzvah. If you want to do mahadrin, then madlik neir is kminyan anshei habayis neiluchol echad ve'echad. The Rambam learns what's mahadrin, not like Rashi. The Rambam's mahadrin is not that each person lights; it's just that the father lights one menorah, but taking into account all the people that are in the house. That's mahadrin according to the Rambam. So we have machoikis rishonim and another mahadrin. Either mahadrin means more people light, or according to Rambam, it's the same menorah. It's just a question of how many candles are going to be added. What's this machoikis Rambam and Rashi talyin? It's both lashitasim. If you hold that it's a chayvus gavra, and you hold you're really supposed to light the menorah, but for some reason we allow you to get away with the lighting of the baal bayis, then we understand what mahadrin is. Mahadrin is I want to be frumer, I want to do better, I don't want loopholes, so I want to light my menorah. But the Rambam that holds that it's a chayvus bayis, so what does mahadrin mean? I want to be more frumer and go beyond the chiv? The chiv is one menorah per house. So me lighting a second menorah is not adding to the mitzvah. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is one menorah per house. So how am I mekayim mahadrin according to Rambam? I have more candles. So it's the Rambam l'shitosoi in Chayvas Bayis and how we learn Mahadrin versus Rashi the way he learned Mahadrin. That's the Chayvah what comes out in the Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. The Briskura is a famous piece over here in Hilchas Chanukah, where the Briskura wants to suggest that Machlokes Rambam and Rashi, and it's really a Ramon Shulchan Aruch, is totally in another Machlokes about Tzitzin She'ena Ma'akvin Esamila. It's a famous Machlokes we showing him on during the week, would a mile go back after he finishes the Mila, would he go back for those strands that are not Ma'akiv? A big Machlokes we showing. So Reb Salvech, the Brisker Rav want to suggest that that's the Machlokes Rambam and Rashi over here. It's not a Chanukah issue. It's a general rule in Hiddur Mitzvah. Do you go back for Hiddur Mitzvah after the Mitzvah has already been completed? Is there an inyan of being Mahad the Mitzvah if the Mitzvah is already over? You already finished the meal, the Mitzvah is over. And now you finished the meal and you realize there are some strands you didn't get. So you're going to go back and fix that. But the Mitzvah is already over. What type of inyan is there go to do Mahadrin after the Mitzvah is already finished? So says the Biskurov, that's the Machlokes Rambam over here also. If you hold the mitzvah is already done, right, the Baal Bayis lit the menorah, the mitzvah is over. What type of hiddur mitzvah is there now to light another menorah? It's over. You can't do hiddur mitzvah after the mitzvah is already over. That's why the Rambam thought that that's not Mahadrin. The Rambam thought Mahadrin means to add on to the neiros. This way the mitzvah is still going on. Rashi, Lushitosi holds not like that. Rashi holds that tzitzin can be done even afterwards. So since it can be done even afterwards, here also, even after the Baal Bayis lights, you can still have someone else lighting to be Mekayim hiddur. Boshawai doesn't like this whole piece. He thinks, first of all, he thinks it's a bad comparison to compare the hiddur mitzvah of Ner Chanukah to the hiddur mitzvah of other mitzvahs. He thinks by other mitzvahs, there's a din to do the mitzvah, and there's a general din called Zekei Levanvei. He says, but by Ner Chanukah, it was built into the rule. Right? We saw the Gemara. It was built into the original takana was to be Mahad of the mitzvah. So it's a whole different type of hiddur mitzvah. It's not like a general idea of do a mitzvah and beautify it. No. Here by Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah was built into the mitzvah was to make it in a Mahadrin dik away. So therefore, Rabbi Shavai doesn't like this whole shtickle Torah from the Birskirav.
Why did Chazal put different rules for Chanukah than there are for other mitzvahs?
Yeah, I agree. But the point over here is that he thinks that he has a whole piece, he has a bunch of issues with this Birskirav. But I just want to very quickly get to the steam and Rambam. And I guess we'll leave. I would assume so, why not? I would assume. And a chanami. That didn't Zekei Levei. It was a gilin, how to treat mitzvahs. There's much more to get to. Maybe we'll talk about it next year, Mitzvah. But let's just wrap up with the Stephen Rambam. We'll leave everyone with a Stephen Rambam to talk about at your Hanukkah party. I don't think that's going to go well at my Hanukkah party. Okay, maybe. No, no, no. Okay. Usually when you start talking to you is when people start to walk away from you. That's why I do it. Okay. Zakti Rambam. Okay, the Rambam number 18. If we assume, like everyone assumes there, Salvechik and others, that the Rambam holds a Chayvus HaBayis, there's one Stephen Rambam in Hilchos Brachos. If you look at number 18, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos, Yesh mitzvah saseh she'odem chayv l'shtadol v'lirdoif ad shiyasa. He said, there are certain mitzvahs you must run after to do to make sure they happen. Kigoyin, tefillin, sukkah, lulav, shofar, all those mitzvahs, they're not sheval tasa. They're active. You must go out and ensure you have these things. Look, the Rambam, if you should adam chayv al koponim masas, you have to do them. V'yesh mitzvah she'ena chayv el doim in the reshust. You don't have to. Kigoyin mezuzah, maika, right? You're not mechayv to buy a house to put up a mezuzah. If you have a house, then you have to put up a mezuzah. So the Rambam she'ena adam chayv lishkoin bebayis hachayv mezuzah, k'tish yas mezuzah. El em ratza lishkoin koyom aboy, the guy wants to live in a tent, oy besvina yoshav, let him sit in a boat his whole life, and he doesn't have to do. So the Rambam na halacha beis v'chein kol ha-mitzvah yishrei medivrei sofrim. Let's say it's a mitzvah d'rabbanon. Bei mitzvah shechoyva medivreim. Whether it's what we call a mitzvah choyva, which is what we call a mitzvah shebeguf, or something you have to do. Kigoyin mikra megillah v'hadlokas ner b'shabbos v'hadlokas ner chanukah. So here in Hilchos Brachos, when the Rambam defines mitzvahs that you have to do, he calls ner chanukah as a mitzvah that you have to do. So frak di achrein, what do you mean you have to do? I don't have to do anything. If it's a choyva's bias, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Chanukah, then I don't have to go out. So if Salvechik suggests, maybe according to this Rambam, you have to go out and rent a house. The same way you have to rent money to buy Neiros Chanukah, according to this Rambam, you have to rent, go, if a person is homeless, he has to find a house for 8 days so he can be kind of the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah. That doesn't seem to be in line with the Rambam earlier. The Rambam earlier told us that it's a chayvus bias. If it's a chayvus bias like mezuzah, the Rambam told you that you don't have to go out and you're ready to buy a house to have a mezuzah. It's that if you have a house, then you have to put up a mezuzah. So it should be the same thing with Neir Chanukah. If I happen to have a house, then I have to put up a menorah. Why does it sound like from the Rambam Hilchos Brachos that menorah is a chayvus gavra instead of a chayvus bias? Okay, we'll leave that off for Mitzvah Shem for another time. Could be. I think there's a, okay. So I think she got to leave off for the cash.